How's it going, everyone? This is Paul Garcia of ProjectSpurs.com. This is a special SpursCast edition going over the Spurs' financial situation, giving an update where they're at as of July 27th, 2017. Looking in at their cap situation as well for next summer, 2018. A brief overview over the roster at the moment, where their San Antonio is going to have 14 players under guaranteed contracts. And then also, lastly, reviewing the upcoming international tournaments that some of the Spurs players and prospects will be participating in before the season begins again, the NBA season, on October 17, 2017. So the first thing let's do is go over the current cap situation as far as how San Antonio has operated this summer. So currently, the only player San Antonio is waiting to officially get his financial number is Manu Ginobili. He has a $21 million cap hold. The Spurs are going over the cap to sign him. He's not going to sign for $21 million. Because San Antonio gave Pau Gasol $48 million over 3 years, which is about $16 million on average, San Antonio has about 11.9, from 0 to 11.9, to squeeze in to provide Manu. That way they reach the cap apron, the tax apron, should I say, of $125.2 million. San Antonio is what we call hard cap, meaning they cannot add any salaries beyond that $125.2 million for the rest of this season. Now, Manu, as I mentioned, can go get a deal from anywhere from 0 to $11.9 million for this season at least, with Patty Mills getting his $11 million, Pau Gasol getting around his $16 million, Rudy Gay getting his $8.4 million with the non-tax exception. And for Manu, if San Antonio is interested in getting a 15th player by waiving Brent Forbes, they'd have an open roster spot. They can provide what we call the biannual exception, which is about $3.3 million. If they went this route, then Monty would have to take a little bit of a pay cut, where he maybe get $8 million for this coming season. I don't see that happening just because most of the impactful free agents have already been signed by other teams. I don't think that on the market right now there's a guy who's really going to impact the Spurs and really crack the rotation where you need to give that person $3.3 million. So I kind of see San Antonio keeping Forbes for now, letting him battle out with a few other camp invites, and kind of just letting Manu be their last signing. Now, this doesn't mean San Antonio's done in terms of their roster improvement. This, you know, there's still a long way between now and February. You got to remember this is just because this opening season and training camp might operate with this 14-man roster or 15-man roster. There's always the trade deadline in February, which has been moved up. And, you know, speaking of trades, the Spurs have been in the rumor mill as part of the Kyrie Irving situation, where Kyrie Irving gave the Cleveland Cavaliers reportedly a list of four teams that he'd like to be traded to. San Antonio was the top one on his list of all the teams. Our own guys, Jose Grijalva, Ryan McCallum, and Ben Bornstein, they did a great job on the last Spurs cast, just going over some trade scenarios of what the Spurs would have to do to give up some assets, who they'd have to move to try to get Kyrie Irving in a Spurs uniform. And obviously, you got to remember that when it comes to a trade, there's three parties involved. There's the player getting traded. So in this situation, it's Kyrie, who he does and he doesn't have leverage. So let's say that he doesn't have leverage. Here's the situation: he doesn't have a no trade clause. Carmelo Anthony has no trade clause, so he kind of has a say so where he wants to get traded to. He has to approve that. Kyrie doesn't have that, so Cleveland can trade him wherever they want as long as they find the deal that they like. And Kyrie cannot say anything about it. It's a business. They don't have to trade him to those four teams. Now, where Kyrie might have some power here is that he can threaten, or his agent can threaten, those teams that try to trade for him that aren't the Spurs, Knicks, Miami, or Minnesota, the four teams on his list. He can threaten that, okay, if you trade for me, I'm going to play for you for 2 years, but then I'm leaving after those 2 years. I'm not signing an extension with you. I'm not staying long term. So anybody outside those four teams, that's the possibility, is that you trade for Kyrie and there's not a guarantee that he's going to stay with you long term. But in today's NBA, that, you know, you got to still take that risk. If you're going to have a guy like Kyrie Irving for 2 years, I guaranteed you have to try to do that. So I think that's why you're seeing teams like Phoenix, Denver getting in the mix here, teams with real assets to try to get Kyrie. So again, listen to the last Spurs cast. The guys really did a great job of breaking that down, the Kyrie situation. Personally, I still don't think that San Antonio has enough to provide to Cleveland. because as I was mentioning with the party situation, you have to think about it. There's Kyrie involved. There's the team that wants him. So in this case, the Spurs, and then there's Cleveland. Cleveland has to do what's best for Cleveland. They're in a rocky situation because they don't know what's going to happen to LeBron next summer if he's gonna decline his player option and test the free agent market. Or if he's staying, most reports indicate he is going to probably leave Cleveland. So, but they have to stay in contention. So whatever they're trying to trade for, they need to get one, a young prospect or picks back, really good picks, draft picks. And two, they got to still get an impactful player who can continue to keep LeBron close to the NBA Finals level for his for this coming season if it's his last with the Cavs. So the Cavs are in a tricky situation. They don't have to trade Kyrie. There's no deadline until February again. And again, you never know if they don't like any of these deals that are being thrown at them, why not just try to finish the season with Kyrie? We'll see what happens. It's a crazy situation. But for now, the Spurs, you know, again, could get involved in some sort of trade. So right now the roster is as it is, but that could change as the season approaches. So this season, as far as the cap situation right now, they don't look for them to, outside of re-signing Manu, there's not really much. I don't think they're going to go too far in terms of trying to get another free agent in San Antonio outside of some camp invites. Next, let's go ahead and transition over to next offseason. Now, there was a lot of Twitter backlash to the Pau Gasol rumor, the Pau Gasol new deal, because, you know, he re-signed with San Antonio. At first, you know, about a month ago, when he had opted out or declined his player option, so he had a player option for $16.2 million. He declined that, and the initial reports were that he was going to re-sign with San Antonio for a lower annual amount, so maybe like, you know, 8 to 12 million. There was no actual number attached to that report, but it did look like he was going to sign for a smaller amount. Turns out, though, he ended up signing for almost the exact same amount, but for a long-term deal. So Pau's supposed to be getting $48 million for 3 years, which averages out to about $16 million per year. The final year of that deal was not guaranteed. It's not fully guaranteed, should I say, in the third year. And a lot of fans got a little upset because, you know, the whole thing was that since San Antonio did not get Chris Paul this summer, because he obviously got traded to Houston instead of becoming a free agent, they want to save their cap space for next summer to make a run like somebody like LeBron James, who's the big marquee free agent expected to be on the market next summer. So what I want to do is just go through a few scenarios of where the Spurs stand, assuming Paul gets re-signed for $15.2 million this year, $16 million next offseason, and then also about $16 million in the final year. So I'm going to go through a few scenarios of how much cap space the Spurs can open up and why it's not really the Pau signing that's the big critical part of the Spurs getting a max free agent next summer. It's actually three other players. So I'm going to run down first through their roster for next offseason and just show you where everybody stands on their team and where everything's going as far as what would need to happen to open a max slot for a guy like, just to make that pitch to LeBron. Because, you know, if LeBron's a free agent, you know San Antonio's probably going to get a meeting with him. Not guaranteed he's going to come, he would sign with San Antonio, but he could for sure get a meeting, knowing that, you know, the respect he has for Coach Pop, for just the Spurs organization. So the first guy, Tony Parker, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent next summer, where he's going to have a cap hold of $23.1 million. So if you forgot what a cap hold is, it just means that if San Antonio keeps that cap hold on their books, then they can re-sign Parker to any amount over the cap next season. If they renounces his rights, that cap hold, then San Antonio can only sign him with an exception, like the room exception, which is about $4.4 million, or any kind of cap space left over. Then San Antonio has LaMarcus Aldridge, who has a player option for $22.3 million. Now, Aldridge, there's been reports that he's not, you know, happy in San Antonio. So one would expect that he's going to decline that player option and test the free agent market. But that's not so sure, because you don't, like a lot of free agents learned this past summer, there's not going to be a lot of money out in the market. Right now, according to Spotrac.com, there's only about six teams that are going to have north of $20 million in cap space next season. And there's only about 11 teams with over $15 million in cap space. So should Aldridge exercise that player option, there's no guarantee he's going to make that same money, $22.3 million, from another team or more than that elsewhere. So that's kind of something to watch, is whether or not Aldridge does indeed exercise that does decline that player option. The Spurs will still have Kawhi Leonard under contract for $20 million. They'll have Pau Gasol, $16 million, should be guaranteed. Patty Mills, you know, this is just an early estimated figure, should be making $11.8 million next season. He's guaranteed. Then there's Danny Green. Danny Green, like Aldridge, has a player option next summer. So if he declines that player option, he's basically saying, I'm trying to take a risk and seeing if the market will give me $10 million, more than $10 million out on the open market. And again, think about what I just said. There's six teams only with about $20 million projected to have cap space, and only about 11 expected to have over at least $15 million in cap space. So a lot of wings this summer, outside of like guys like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and J.J. Redick, they didn't get paid really well. Now, Green's a little bit different. He's an all-NBA-level defender, and he's also a really good three-point shooter. Somebody like Tony Allen is still out on the market right now, and he's only getting veteran minimum offers reportedly. And this is a guy who was also an all-NBA team member. But again, he doesn't have that skill that Green has, which is that three-point shooting skill. So we don't know the exact market for 3-and-D guys right now. Maybe Green doesn't exercise that player option. Maybe he does. Rudy Gay, it has a player option as well for $8.8 million. So, you know, depending on his injury, his rehab and recovery situation, you know, if he comes back to San Antonio and he's not fully healthy, he doesn't make, they're hoping that he does, you know, everyone's hoping he does. But if he doesn't, then does he not opt out and just keep that $8.8 million? What if he doesn't have a good season statistically, or just, you know, find a good role in the system? You never know. It's an uncommon factor. Maybe he won't decline that player option. But if he did, then that would open up some room for the Spurs. Kyle Anderson will be a restricted free agent next summer if the Spurs choose to make him one with the qualifying offer of $3.2 million. Bryn Forbes, should he stay on the team, would also become a restricted free agent with a qualifying offer of $1.7 million. Davis Bertans would be a restricted free agent with a $1.7 million qualifying offer if they tendered it to him. Derek White would be on a guaranteed contract of $1.6 million. Joffrey Laverne, just like Gay, Aldridge, and Danny Green, Laverne has a $1.6 million player option. So he could decline the player option and test free agency again, which I think he would do. That's a low amount. I mean, he could probably make more just on the veteran minimum. Or he could obviously stay on the roster. DeJounte Murray, the Spurs have a team option. Considering he's young, he's a really good prospect, I don't think they would ever let him go. So he has a team option for $1.5 million. The Spurs would still have Nikola Milutinov's draft rights on their cap sheet for $1.4 million next summer. So they would have to choose, do we bring him over now, or do we let him again stay overseas with Olympiacos? The Spurs would have Brandon Paul, the new shooting guard, at $1.3 million on a non-guaranteed deal. So they could waive Paul and just not worry about a cap hit there. And then lastly, they'll have their first round draft pick. So for now, you know, I'm just assuming they're 29th again picking, they would be about $1.3 million. So that's kind of a rundown, and that gives them a total salary next season with all these cap holds and everything and all player options at $130.0 million. The salary cap is expected to be $102 million. So now let's go into the conversation of how can they get a max level free agent with 10 plus years, somebody like LeBron James, somebody like Chris Paul, maybe those are the guys that have a 10 plus years on them. Those kind of free agents are going to cost the team next summer $35.7 million. So that's kind of the room you got to open up is $35.7 million. So let's go through a few scenarios here. San Antonio can open up $42.5 million if LaMarcus Aldridge, Danny Green, and Rudy Gay all decline their player options, and the Spurs renounce their rights to Parker, Kyle Anderson, Bryn Forbes. So in that situation, they'd have enough for LeBron, and then they'd have about $7 million left to try to fill out the roster, and it would be basically Kawhi, Pau Gasol, Patty Mills, LeBron, as your core guys, Derek White, DeJounte Murray, and then that first-round pick, and then you kind of just got to fill in the roster from there. So even though Powell's deal was, you know, it's a big number, $16 million, they're still capable of getting a guy like LeBron James or just whoever that max free agent is of $10 plus million, whether even a guy like Chris Paul if it doesn't work out in Houston. The thing, though, again, is that they need – this is something they kind of don't control, which is Aldridge, the decision of Aldridge, Danny Green, and Rudy Gay. If those guys don't decline their player options, then San Antonio has to then it kind of takes away some of their cap space. Let's look at another scenario. Let's say that the Spurs want to all that situation takes place again. Parker renounces, Aldridge, Gay, and Green all decline their player options. And this time, though, the Spurs waive Pau Gasol. They stretch out his contract. In this situation, they'd have about $51.1 million. Now, this is enough to not only chase a guy like LeBron James, but it's also enough to get two max-level free agents, but young guys, guys that have only played in the league 0 to 7 years. This isn't a LeBron James, a Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony type of player. This is some sort of younger player who's barely getting their first max contract. San Antonio, in this situation, if they waive Gasol and all these guys opted out and they renounced all these free agents, they could have close to $51.1 million to chase at least two max-level free agents who are younger. Again, that's very uncertain that that's going to happen. You just never know. Next scenario, let's assume that they trade Gasol. They find a trade partner next summer who takes on his full $16 million, and San Antonio would include an asset, which would probably be a first-round pick. In this situation, San Antonio would have $57.6 million. So again, it really just comes down to Aldridge, Green, and Gay. Do they decline their player options? And that's something you don't know until next summer when that date comes. You know, if these guys, you just never know what the markets will look like. Maybe their agents tell them not to opt out. You're not going to get that kind of money on the market. So that's still an unknown factor. But that would be about 57.6 in that situation if Gasol got traded. And it's still enough to get a max level free agent with 10 plus years, a LeBron James, a Chris Paul kind of guy. Or again, two younger max free agents that are 0 to 7 years. Let's just say that Aldridge declines his player option, Green declines his player option, and Gabe declines his player option, but they want to re-sign Parker long term. You know, there's been reports that Parker's wanted to play up to like a 20 year career with the Spurs and retire as a Spur, etc. Well, then in this situation, if they did just keep Parker's cap hold and everybody else kind of declined their player options, San Antonio have about $20.1 million. So these are just a few scenarios. You know, obviously a lot of people went a little, how should I say, they got a little excited with the new contract. It's one that it's tough because, you know, you see his age, 37 years old. They're committing $48 million to him. Again, that third year is not fully guaranteed. But the real thing is that it comes down to what really happens with Aldridge, Danny Green, and Rudy Gay. Those are the three guys that kind of hamper. If they don't decline their player options, then that's where the Spurs really lose that cap room. And then of course they would have to actually look at moving Gasol or waiving him if they got a commitment from somebody like LeBron or Chris Paul, etc. One of those really marquee 10 plus year free agents who's really gonna have a dramatic impact on the team. So they have some flexibility next summer. A lot of it just, again, depends on what happens this year, and that's where they got to go. So next, after looking at their cap situation for 2018, let's go ahead and go through a current roster breakdown just to look at where they stand on the roster and what types of moves they can still make, etc. So first, looking at their guards, their point guards mainly, I'm anticipating DeJounte Murray starts. You saw him starting in the playoffs when Tony Parker got hurt. So they have DeJounte Murray. They're probably their starter. Patty Mills will be their guy off the bench, continue to play as a little bit of like that scoring role where he's kind of not really he's a point guard, but he plays with Manu Ginobili, etc. And they kind of have like a two man formation. Patty can play some minutes with another guard on the floor. For now, I have Derek White as their third point guard. And again, he's young. If he plays. You're going to expect him to visit Austin a few times during the season, but if Murray struggles, you know, to get that starting role, you never know if Pop gives Derek White a shot really early in the season. And then, of course, fourth is Parker, and the only reason why Parker's fourth is because, again, he's injured to start the season. He's not expected to be back till maybe January, February. So for now, that job looks like it's up to DeJounte and Patty Mills until Parker returns to the team in late January. Looking at the shooting guard spot, the two guard, you have Danny Green as probably the starter again. You have Manu Ginobili coming off the bench to help Green, and play a lot of that point guard role off the bench as a backup and playing alongside Patty. They have good chemistry together. Then you have Brandon Paul as that third shooting guard. At 6'4", he's a new player. He reminds me a little bit of Not necessarily for the off court antics, but for the just the in game antics. I mean, just his type of player. I watched a lot of film on him. He looks a little bit like J.R. Smith's skill set. Really good 3-point shooter. Can shoot off the dribble. He has a he doesn't, when it comes to coming off a screen with the ball in his hands, he can play make, but he has a tendency to want to shoot the three or a jump shot, like sort of like what I would see from J.R. Smith, rather than attacking the rim and getting to, you know, getting, creating for others or getting to the free throw line. Now, he is very athletic. There's a few, you know, highlight videos of him. So he'll basically get a lot of those Jonathan Simmons minutes since Simmons went over to Orlando, and he should get some good playing time because, you know, with Manu approaching 40 years old, they're going to have to sit him a lot of games like they did this year. Pop did a really great job last season of sitting Manu a lot during the season, and then when the playoffs came, he looked really fresh and energetic for that run before they got swept against Golden State. So I think that's kind of the same approach where you're going to see Brandon Paul get a lot of those minutes that Manu sits out. So he should be able to at least get a chance to try to get a rotation role in his first year, especially since they let Simmons walk. Then you have Bryn Forbes. Now, he's the interesting one. He's on a non-guaranteed contract that doesn't guarantee till January 10th, 2018. So with Forbes, the Spurs have 15 players under contract. They have 14 guaranteed if Forbes doesn't count there. So during training camp, you can invite up to 20 players. So with 15 with Forbes, San Antonio can invite 5 more players to training camp. I think someone like Jaren Blossom game, their second round pick in 2017, I think that's where you see him get filled in there is as a second rounder. Because if you invite some of your camp invites and then you waive them, you can have them sign in the D League with the Austin Spurs. So for now, Forbes is kind of safe. But if he doesn't have a good preseason, or somebody just outshines him in that preseason and training camp, then you could see him get waived. Or, like, again, if there's like a veteran on the market that Pop and RC are interested in, they could waive Forbes right now and sign that veteran to either the veteran minimum fully guaranteed or to maybe the biennial exception before Mono resigns and we know what his number is. So for now, Forbes is kind of safe. I think that they'll keep him, and then they'll really determine whether they're going to keep him long term when it gets closer to January, unless somebody else like woos them out of or wows them in the preseason. Over at the three position, you have Kawhi Leonard, obviously all-star MVP candidate, Rudy Gay behind him. But Rudy Gay might also, we don't know how Pop's going to approach this, he might also just start at the four, maybe Pop, because he played a lot of four in Sacramento. Good ball handler, pick and roll player to help out Kawhi. And then Kyle Anderson would be third at the small forward position. At the power forward position, you have LaMarcus Aldridge starting. Again, if Pop wants to go small ball right from the get-go, he can put LaMarcus at the five and put Rudy Gay at the four with Kawhi at the three, and that's a super small ball, try to beat the Warriors type of approach. That's a good way just to get started. Not sure if he's going to do that just yet. And then behind Aldridge, you have Davis Bertans. At the center spot, the Spurs have Pau Gasol. You'd expect him to start right now. And then off the bench, you'd have Joffrey Laverne, who's basically taking the Dwayne Dedmon role of minutes. Now, he's a little bit different from Dwayne Dedmon. Dedmon was a rim runner, a really good defensive player. Laverne, after watching some film of him, he's a really good passer. He can shoot the three, can stretch the floor, keeps the ball moving, can do a lot of dribble handoff action. Actually reminds me a lot of Boris Dia. Now, defensively, I haven't seen a lot of his defensive playmaking yet, but I don't think he's going to bring the type of rim protection that Dedmon was bringing to the Spurs. But it'll be interesting just to see how he works out. He should get a good role and some minutes playing behind Powell or playing in front of Powell, regardless of where Pop puts him. And then lastly, the new two-way contracts by the NBA. The Spurs have Matt Costello, who they've already signed. He's a 6'9 power forward. He played a little bit in the G League last season. And so that just means that for 45 days, he's allowed to come play with the Spurs. The other time, he has to spend the G League. If he goes over those 45 days with San Antonio, then they have to basically waive somebody on their 15-man roster and give him a full spot, or if not, they could lose him. We wrote about this on Project Spurs. There's some other advantages of signing the G League contract, as far as like Costello could be a restricted free agent next summer. And then they have one more two-way roster spot open, so they probably will fill that. Now, again, the two-way spot is good because these players are basically playing in the G League with the Austin Spurs. They're getting the familiarity of the Spurs' system, the terminology, the coaching. And then when, like, let's say somebody gets hurt or, you know, some situation where Pop needs to rest somebody, then they can bring those players in for up to 45 days. And those 45 days include travel, not to G League to NBA level, but like if like Spurs play in Denver and they got to fly to the Lakers and it's at three days before the next game, those kind of travel occur with the 45 days. And also any kind of practice time that they're working out with the San Antonio Spurs. Now, the preseason doesn't count and training camp, and neither do the playoffs for these situations with the G League players. So that's just a quick rundown of where the Spurs stand right now on their roster. They have 14 players, again, under guaranteed contracts once Patty Mills and Manu Ginobili officially sign their deals. And with Forbes, that caps them at 15 players. But again, Forbes does not guarantee until January 10th. So still look for the Spurs to add one more two-way contract and five more camp invites, where I think Jaren Blossomgame will possibly be one of those camp invites before the season starts. The last thing I want to go over was just the EuroBasket 2017 that's approaching next for the Spurs, for some of their players, should I say. This will be taking place from August 31st to September 17th. So if any of these players make it that far, their teams, then there's a chance that they'll basically finish EuroBasket and like a week later they have training camp start for the NBA because the season starts a little bit earlier this year. Players who expect to participate, Pau Gasol, he's playing with obviously Spain. This could be his last run with Spain. He hasn't officially said that. One of the Spurs' draft prospects, Nemanja Dangubic, who plays over with Crvena Zvezda. He's playing with Serbia. He's not officially on the team yet, but he's on the preliminary roster, so he has to earn a roster spot. Adam Hanga, he didn't obviously come to San Antonio. He signed a three-year deal with to stay overseas in Saski Baskonia. But if you want to see Adam Hanga and his game, how much he's improved, he'll be playing with Hungary at EuroBasket. Nikola Milutinov. So there's a chance San Antonio could bring him over next summer since they didn't do it this summer. He's staying in Olympiacos with Greece. He'll also be with Serbia on the preliminary roster. Again, he has to earn a roster spot. It's not a guarantee yet that he's going to be on the team. Davis Bertans will be playing with Latvia. So you get to see Bertans on the international stage, see how much he's improved his game after seeing him at Summer League. So he'll be with Latvia. And then Joffrey Laverne, I haven't seen confirmation that he'll be with France, but he usually is. He usually plays with France's team, Les Bleus. So he'll also be representing France most likely at EuroBasket. So the Spurs have a few players that are going to be out playing international ball here in late August, early September. Patty Mills will not play with Australia at Oceania, which takes place in early August. So again, continue to check out projectspurs.com. We're just obviously it's in full offseason mode. So right now we're just kind of providing some analysis of what's going on with the Spurs' team right now as they stand. Keep listening to the Spurs cast. Jose, Ryan, and Ben have been doing a really good job keeping it going through the summertime, keeping all the latest topics up to date, some outside NBA news as well. So for ProjectSpurs.com, I am Paul Garcia.